in the home 6010. Hello and welcome into Fantasy Focus Football. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico, see all the ways that you could save. My name is Daniel, joined by Field and Mike. It is Thursday. My phone is blowing up. Is that because?
Yeah, come on, man.
Do not disturb.
I'm just replying to the group text, but won't text during the 11 a.m. hour because you're on the show. Thanks, Rosie, for that. Even though I just got it
hold
here
on
the show.
Now turn your computer off.
Is my computer
turn your computer off? Is this your first time dealing with technology? Weren't you an audio producer for 10 years?
I have zero recollection of that time. I've got to be honest. There's like so much stuff.
The season is starting today.
Like, and everything just
business.
Started blowing
you're
up
just sitting here. Crisscross, you got phones.
What are you talking? I wore buttons relaxing. For today's show okay. because football
is
today.
It vacation season. You're wearing
Stop
a Hawaiian
it.
Shirt.
I
here?
Wore
Come
a
on,
nice
man.
Shirt with buttons because it is the nicest day of the year, and football starts.
He looks
Mike.
Like Russell Brand from Forgetting Sarah Marshall right now.
Stop
just
it.
With a beard.
One of my favorite. One of my favorite.
All time great movie. Oh. Top five movie that if you turn it on, it's staying on.
It's staying on.
There's just no two ways about it.
All right, we got a little bit of news before we dive into a jam packed show here today. A reminder: we are moving to 10 a.m. Eastern next week for our live show starting Monday, 10 a.m.
Yeah.
every single day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Sweet.
10 a.m. live.
Be there or
we'll
else
be there.
You're going to hate yourself.
We have a ton of guests this year now that we are into the regular season. Every single week, we're going to have Liz Loza every Monday and Wednesday. We're going to have Eric Moody every Tuesday for waivers. Adam Schefter is going to join us on Thursday for his weekly notebook dump. And then Friday, I'm going to be off the show. It's going to be Mike what? Field and Stefania bringing you guys home with everything you need. I'll be back for Fantasy Football Now on Sunday with the rest of the crew so you can see us there.
Sweet.
Fun.
And now.
Is that it?
I think that's really it. Do you guys mind if we get into the news?
Is there anything before we do that? There's something going on today, right? Is there something tonight that
I
we
think
should
there
mention?
Is.
Right,
think
today is the first day of Boston Public Schools. Is that what you're referring
oh,
to?
That's what it was.
That's it. You know, Boston Public, good show.
Boston Public, great show. Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah,
that's such a.
That was.
Yeah, it was one of my favorites growing up.
It was. Yeah. Who
Michael
was,
Rappaport was in
was
that one.
I was going to say, that's
big fantasy
a long
football
time
player.
Ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good crew on there. Anyway, football game tonight. We're going to preview that here, right?
Yes, we are.
We're going to do that soon.
No, we're not
going
to do that now.
We're going to do news first.
We're going to do news first.
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
Maybe I was tuned out. Do we even mention there was a game there? That's why I brought that up. I feel like we did not. Did we? I don't know. There's a game tonight.
There's a game tonight.
Bills and Rams. They apparently play a regular season football game tonight.
On Thursday Night Football.
Yes, I feel like we didn't draw enough attention to that out of the gate. That's why.
Wow. Well, way to go, Mike. So you said that Mike's on Fridays. Is that in stone or no?
That's not in pen. I think it's in pencil.
Okay, gotcha. So. Good to know. We'll see. We'll see whether Mike's on Friday shows.
I don't think
we'll
you
find
guys
out.
Made a big enough a deal about football being back, so I had to get that in there. Okay, it's important.
Yeah.
All right, I got a quick fire injury report here. Listen. Stefania and these guys are going to dive into everybody even deeper tomorrow, but we want to make sure that we touch on a few people just so that you know that we are also staying on top of things. A few guys we want to mention. Jalen Waddle was limited yesterday, but trending in the right direction with a quad injury. We're going to keep watching him to make sure he is good for week one. Michael Thomas, back at practice, was limited yesterday, but he is progressing. We are excited to see where he is going to be for week one. And Chris Godwin practiced in full yesterday after coming back from an ACL field. I think this is the big one, like knowing that he practiced in full, excited to see what happens with practice tomorrow.
Yeah, another encouraging sign. If you've got him, you can feel potentially confident in playing him this weekend. Only thing that we'll keep an eye out, and we'll ask Shefty about him later, is whether Todd Bowles makes any comments tomorrow about the possibility of a pitch count.
All right. Deontay Johnson, who hurt his shoulder a little bit earlier in the preseason, was limited yesterday, said that it's annoying, and we're going to see where it goes.
It is annoying.
It probably has to be annoying. Yeah. Yep. Drake London was also limited yesterday. Arthur Smith said we won't know until the end of the week, but feeling good about Drake London with his knee injury. Excited to see what happens there for the highly touted rookie. And then J.K. Dobbins. We've talked about ad nauseum with his knee injury. He was limited yesterday. Coach Harbaugh says he is ascending quickly. I'm not sure he's ascending quickly enough for week one for me, though.
Well, Lamar Jackson also made a comment yesterday about J.K. Dobbins where he said something to the effect of hopefully he'll be back out there in a couple of weeks, which Lamar Jackson, amazing quarterback, not a doctor, so who knows whether he was speaking out of turn or whether he was speaking accurately. Again, we'll ask Shefty about this in just a little bit, but you need to know the name Mike Davis for week one. Yeah, you need to know that name.
That's what I was going to say, too. If you're in a sticky spot, maybe you're in a deeper league, you need a flex, an RB2, Mike Davis out there on a lot of waiver wires right now, and he could start and have 15 touches against the Jets in week one. So
the Jets, mind you, this isn't like that's a part of this. It's the Jets. So Mike Davis should be a good spot.
Maybe a little bit of an underrated defense. I think they can make a step forward, but nonetheless, we still view it early on.
I hate the Jets.
Well, Daniel was disappointed they lost Foley Fatukasi this offseason, who actually was a really good run stopper for them. That's a Mike and I just like only the nerds that care about nose tackles and do projections and depth charts.
Let's talk two more guys here. Chase Edmonds was limited yesterday with a groin injury.
My finger.
We're excited to see what happens with Chase Edmonds there. And then George Kittle did not practice also because of a groin. And I think this one is the one that is a little bit more pump the brakes. Let's see what happens here.
And the new one, right? This kind of popped up seemingly out of nowhere.
Happened on Monday.
Exactly. And it kind of just popped up that he got hurt and might miss the, you know, could potentially miss this game. Right. So it's something to keep an eye on. Hopefully he plays. If he does not, it's not like an insurance situation. You're not starting Ross Dwelly or Tyler Kroft here. So you're going to have to find an alternate option. Right. If there is a decent tight end out there on your waiver wire, you might want to scoop him up and have him as a backup
player. I would do that right now. By the way, a couple of lineup tips to talk about in a little bit later, but like great time to drop your kicker right now. Mm-hmm. Drop your defense right now. Maybe not your defense, but drop your kicker right now. Mm-hmm. Pick a different one up on Sunday morning. Once we have clarity on George Kittle, it might be sooner. And what the heck? How do the 49ers always have 19 injuries out of the gate each season?
I know, seriously.
They are the most appropriate team for Stefania to root for. Mm-hmm. Also, like when she saw this yesterday, I don't know what kind of like expensive wine Stefania was drinking. Do you think, well, she has two options. You can either take your wine glass and spike it, or you can chug it. What do you think she did? She had to chug it. It's too good of wine to throw away, right?
Yeah, she chugged it.
Okay, Stefania, we're out there thinking of you.
I think that's what it is. All right, any more news we want to talk about? Obviously, we're going to dive in deeper tomorrow. Stefania's going to have so much more. As we
and
get
more from Jeffy, too.
Yep, and more from Adam from that standpoint later in the show. All right, let's do this. Our Thursday, Sunday night preview on Thursday. Sunday Night Football on Thursday.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, because it's Sunday Night Football branding. Yes, they have a new logo. Did you see it?
I did not.
They have a new logo. It's just Matthew's face is the new logo of Sunday Night Football.
All right. So let's talk about it. There's a couple of guys here in this game. Bills, Rams. By the way, Brian, I can't turn this down. It's going to go for like 2 minutes. I'm going to need you to fade it out. Thank you, buddy.
We're off to a great start here.
I don't have a thing in front of me. I just have a button and it just goes.
You know
goes.
What? Technically, still the preseason. It's preseason for
That's
all
of us.
That's
a good point. Yeah, we have till tonight. This is your last day. Get all the mistakes out now.
This isn't a mistake. I hit the button. The button does its thing.
You press the button.
A lot of buttons talk already from you today.
What are you
wearing buttons, pressing buttons. Yeah, maybe it's the button's fault.
It's the hardest button to button. Crappy band you've ever heard of? Anyone? No?
Nope.
Yeah, definitely.
The White Stripes, guys, they're a real band.
Oh, the White Stripes, don't they sing Seven Nation Army?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. There's also
I know that song.
Okay. All right. Well, whatever. Boom, boom, boom. Stop it. You're going to owe millions of dollars from this. All right. We got a couple of guys from Thursday Night Football.
It wasn't 6 seconds. You're okay.
Well, we definitely want to talk about, but in all honesty, a few of these guys right off the top, they're just no-brainer starters, right? Josh Allen, we have missed quarterback two this week. I am so unbelievably pumped to watch Josh Allen go up against Super Bowl defending champion Aaron Donald and how he's going to handle that pass rush. But there's no way you're not starting Josh Allen this week.
My pick for MVP this year.
Same goes for Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs is a top seven wide receiver across the board for all of us this year. You're definitely starting him in every league. He's going to have a Jalen Ramsey shadow, though, Mike.
Yes, I think it won't be full time, right? So we saw Ramsey shadow quite a bit last year. He plays that star position for the Rams, and sometimes that means lining up in the box, or sometimes he's deep, or sometimes he's on the perimeter, sometimes he's in the slot. It means you line up all over the field wherever your defense needs you the most. But when they played clear number one receivers, at times he would follow them around the field. So I think at the most, it's like 60% of the time. So it's not anything I'm super worried about. Keep in mind that even with Ramsey playing at a high level last season, the Rams allowed the eighth most fantasy points to receivers. I think that would surprise people. They also lost Darius Williams in the offseason to Jacksonville. So, again, I think you can feel pretty confident with the Bills receivers.
All right. And you got Cooper Kupp on the other side of that as well. Really excited to see how the number
I'm starting him.
You are?
I called it first. Oh. If anybody else in the fantasy world is mentioning Cooper Kupp as a start tonight, make sure they credit me. If not, please send them to me directly and I'll have a conversation with that person offline.
We have a lot of time. You should explain why. Is he good? Or something?
Well, like so here's the thing is that he went to Western Oregon for college.
Okay.
Right. So that, Eastern Washington. I just mixed up my state in my direction there. He went to Eastern Washington. So
well, I'm convinced. Put him in your line.
I have
right?
a rule that you
to
have
know.
To start receivers
Wait,
from Eastern
still
Washington.
For field too, right, guys?
We yes, correct.
Field too?
Yes. Cooper has great hair as well. So those are the two reasons why I'm starting Cooper.
All right. Sold. I mean, I'll start him.
No Tre'Davious White this week. Is that correct, Mike?
That is correct. That will not affect Cooper Kupp at all because he lines up mostly in the slot. So White is on the perimeter, so the outside receivers will see him more often, or would see him more often. Allen Robinson is probably the guy that stands to benefit most from no Tre'Davious White. And honestly, it could be a little bit of a question mark on the perimeter for Buffalo, right?
There are not many warts on this Bills roster, yeah, but one of them is their cornerback.
Yeah, early on, they could have a rookie out there, Elam, who they took in the first round and didn't really take that other job across from White. So kind Dane of a work Jackson in progress. Tonight, yeah. And Dane Jackson's on the other side, right? Sean McDermott, you know, I'm not going to bet against him. It doesn't seem to matter who's on the field. He seems to maximize these guys. I think they'll still be an outstanding defense, an outstanding pass defense, but not having White, obviously a factor here.
All right, and we got one more guy that I think is, I don't want to say set it and forget it, but if you drafted Matthew Stafford this year coming out of your draft, you're likely as your only quarterback, you're starting him this week. You're not dropping Matthew Stafford to be able to go pick somebody else up.
I mean, I have him 13th, so there might be a streamer or two. You're probably right. But if you went, you know, there were situations where I took Stafford and, you know, I'm sure people, especially in like a 10-team league, maybe were like, I'm going to go upside two and take Trey Lance, right? And if you did something like that, then maybe you start Trey Lance.
I literally just said this to Kyle before. That's the only scenario I think this week where, like, if I had Trey Lance, because I think most home leagues that I was in this year, almost everyone took two quarterbacks. I don't have in most of my normal leagues, like, Trey Lance is not available out there. So if you drafted Matthew Stafford as your number one quarterback and you have a guy like Trey Lance behind him, that's one of the only scenarios in which I wouldn't start Matthew Stafford this week.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, it could be someone like a Derek Carr. I mean, you're pushing it. Like, your point is essentially, like, Carson Wentz has a good matchup at home against Jacksonville, and that's probably an area where you'd lean towards Stafford.
I'd still go Stafford.
But at the same time, they are playing the Bills. I mean, it's going to be a tough game. If he's going to have a, if there is a week where you would bench him and stream, this would be the one for sure.
Yeah, just uncomfortable to do that out of the box, right? The very first week of the season. I know, Mike, but it's the first week of the season, and I'm so excited that I drafted Matthew Stafford. So I'm going to play him tonight. I would think that in a 10-team league, there are probably at least two people that snagged a backup quarterback. Mm-hmm. And most likely, those two backups on other rosters are the guys that we have ranked ahead of Stafford this week that we normally would not. Whether it's a Trey Lance, whether it's a Derek Carr, somebody of that ilk. My guess is in a lot of leagues, they're already on roster. So I agree with Mike. Probably going to end up playing Matthew Stafford.
All right. I think we have two wide receivers then that become the question. With those guys that are more set it and forget it, you understand you're starting this week. And it's both pass catchers.
I love it.
Super exciting. Gabe Davis and Allen Robinson, both of them come out of the draft. So much hype on both of these guys with what they can potentially be here.
This is two guys who are now wide receiver twos in their respective offenses who are trying to prove something, but at very different junctures of their career, right? Gabe Davis is trying to prove that he can become the old Allen Robinson, a guy that can be a star in the perimeter. Allen Robinson is trying to prove that he can become the old Allen Robinson, right? A star on the perimeter. So Gabe Davis, the hype has been sensational all preseason. And I think a lot of it is certainly well-deserved. There's the question that we are asking for both of these guys is, all right, they play with great quarterbacks. They're not going to be the only wide receiver that has to be accounted for on a down in and down out basis. They do have some touchdown upside. Both big bodies can be good in the red zone. Are they must starts yet? I'm not quite there yet, but it wouldn't surprise me if both of them quickly become must-starts. And I know this is going to sound lame because people want to know this player versus this player versus this player versus this player. But there's like 30 wide receivers this week that I can make a really healthy case for having to start in your 10-team lineup. Now, of course, you're not going to start all of them because many 10-team leagues have just two wide receiver spots, but definitely on a personal level, comfortable starting both Gabe Davis and Allen Robinson tonight.
Yeah, I agree, especially with no Van Jefferson, which should mean more targets for Allen Robinson. On that side of it, I was not super high on him coming into the season, but they're going to have to throw the ball to keep up with the Bills this week. No Jefferson, he's going to be involved. And of course, as we mentioned, no Tre'Davious White. That helps his cause.
Can I make one last note? And this is more anecdotal than it is statistical. Last year when the Rams signed Odell Beckham Jr. as a free agent, Sean McVay, who's very player friendly, like immediately tried to force feed OBJ end zone targets. Like there was a week where it was like three straight phased to OBJ from the one. And they finally were like, all right, let's just run it in from 1 yard. Okay. I have a feeling that Sean McVay is looking at the Allen Robinson situation as like a personal resurrection as well. They love this guy out there in LA. I think he wants to prove they made a smart, calculated bet to spend big on Allen Robinson.
Yeah, but on the other hand, if he has a big game, I'm never going to hear the end of it from Tyler.
That's true.
So
that's true.
I don't know who Tyler is. I've been choosing to ignore him for the day.
You are. Okay.
I'm protecting you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that. I have my team on my side on this one. But anyway, good in a good spot out of the game. By the way, Davis, you know, again, just not really a statistical argument, but
fun. Good at football.
Fun. I think, 13 touchdowns and 35 touches last year. Yeah. I think it's just fun to watch. He's explosive. He's near the goal line. He's used downfield. It's just one of those guys that kind of like Mike Evans feel to it, where if you hear that ball leaves the hand and it's going toward Evans, it's going to be deep and it's probably going to be near the end zone, and there's a chance of a big play and a touchdown. So if you have him, certainly you're starting him.
He's still only 23, right? Isn't he? He's super young.
He came in the NFL. He came in very young, and he has not played snaps like he will this season in his career. And again, I've made this comp before. We talked about Chris Godwin. The situations are almost identical. As a mid-round draft pick entering year three, was really explosive his first 2 years, and we're always wondering why he's not playing more. And then year three, suddenly in position to play a lot. And of course, Godwin really flourished. He flourished with Jameis Winston and then Tom Brady, but Davis just steps in right with Josh Allen. So such a good spot. And again, you want to fire him up. And if you're playing DFS tonight, you know, that's a fun guy to throw into your showdown captain lineup as well.
All right. One of the less fun guys to throw into your lineup is probably anyone from these backfields. And I know field, we talked about a couple of these guys. Cam Akers is obviously going to be the starter here in LA. You've got Devin Singletary, who finished the season really strong last year.
Yeah.
But from either of these standpoints, Devin Singletary is outside the top 30 for all of us at running backs. It looks like from this game, Cam Akers is the one that if we were going to look at one as a low-end RB2 or a flex play, he's the guy we're sort of looking at.
Yeah, there's a potential for a lot of points tonight. So it could be that multiple running backs end up having fantasy-relevant days. I've got just one ranked inside my top 25. It's Cam Akers, a lead back for the Los Angeles Rams, who has talked recently about how he's got a lot to prove this year, and he feels great going into the season. As we have talked about on this show before, Sean McVay, despite saying that he has two starting running backs, has traditionally leaned heavily on one running back in a game. He has the edge in the LA backfield, and for Buffalo, we'll see whether Zach Moss is a healthy scratch or not tonight, but assuming he plays, I think he will get some work as a change of pace runner to Devin Singletary. And if there was ever a game where James Cook might contribute, it could be a game where the Bills could be playing from behind. I don't think they'll be playing a lot from behind this year, but the Rams are very good. I do not have Singletary or Cook ranked inside my top 30.
Yeah, so I did knock Akers a little bit just because he has missed some time the past few weeks, and maybe there's somewhat of a limitation there, but I do still view him as a starter, right? He's a guy I want in my lineup this week. Darrell Henderson again, could see a few extra touches if Akers is limited to some extent, but not a guy I feel super confident starting. And on the other side, look, Devin Singletary, I feel like I'd be more nervous about Singletary if Cook or, you know, if like James Cook had a really good offseason and kind of established, like, man, he looks good and he's going to play a big role right away. That didn't really happen. In fact, the offseason hype was pretty much Zach Moss, right? And that was just like, okay, he's not going to get cut. Like, he's played well enough to make this team, right?
Right, sure.
And that's it. So to me, I look at Devin Singletary and I say, okay, down the stretch last season, he scored in, what, 6 straight games to end the regular season. He was a top 5 fantasy running back, you know, and they turned to him and he was reliable, and he was reliable through the playoffs and was a good player for them. So does he have that ceiling now with these guys there? Maybe not, but does he have RB1 upside? Absolutely, right? If he's the main guy, and that's it, there's a very real possibility he plays 70% of the snaps or more in this game. So for me, Singletary, you're starting him. Cam Akers, you're starting him. The other guys I would avoid for now.
Okay. What about these tight ends? Anybody here at the tight end position? Dawson Knox Field. I saw you. Did you break the news, or did it happen during the show? Dawson Knox.
Shefty broke the news. Shefty, what else is new? I think Dawson Knox is a serviceable, like, low-end tight end one. Maybe if it might be a name to consider if George Kittle's already on your roster. I'd be surprised if he's available, but he fits into that group of tight ends that needs to score a touchdown to pay off, but a really talented guy who just got paid. And he could be a breakout candidate this year in that Buffalo offense with a few less mouths to feed. I think the most interesting decision on the back end of this game, though, is what to do with your defense. Mm-hmm. These were two of the top drafted defenses in the fantasy world this year. And I got to be honest with you, if I drafted the Rams defense, I'm scared tonight. I don't want to face off against Josh Allen and the Bills, and I am scared about the Rams offense as well. I think, if possible, Mike, I would be looking elsewhere for both of these defenses. Certainly the Rams. Mm-hmm. Maybe the Bills as well. Would you be looking elsewhere or no?
The Bills ranked 18th, the Rams 26th.
So you would be looking elsewhere. Yes. So
absolutely. Wow. I'm really aggressive with my defense rankings. You know, if you look at our rankings on the site for the past few years, you would notice that. I don't want to start these guys. And look at more. More defenses scored negative fantasy points than had 5 or more points against the Bills offense.
Ridiculous.
Last year. So why would you start the Rams? I mean, you're more likely to get, I mean, it is a good Rams offense, so maybe they get 5 that's probably your ceiling, honestly. Like, unless they get a fluke fumble recovery touchdown, you're probably just not going to get anything out of that position. So why would you do that? You
know,
just
I would not do it.
Find someone else. And it's really the same on the other side. The Rams have good defense, too. I wouldn't want to use that.
But I would keep the Bills. I know this sounds crazy. The idea of rostering two defenses is somewhat nuts. I would keep the Bills defense if I could. And I know it's going to be tough. You might have to drop a second quarterback or a second tight end. Find the player that you're least confident on your roster. Drop that player today. Add another defense. Sit the Bills defense tonight.
By the way, I said that opposite. I mean, the Bills offense is really good. But keep this in mind, though. The Rams defense last year in fantasy. No, think about that. Rams, good defense, right? Yeah. They've been for you. They were mid-pack and scoring fine. Even, right? Yeah. They weren't even. It's not like that's an elite defense. I drafted them. I have to start them in week one. No, you don't. Like, right. They were even mid-pack last year. So, I honestly would. You could drop them. Like, Rams defense. Like, you have to keep them and have two defenses. I'd be okay with that.
So this is. I want to ask this question then, because for me as a person just drafting, mm-hmm. right? If I wait until the final rounds of my draft and I can grab the kicker or defense that I want, to just like the Bills or the Rams are going to be a pretty good defense, I would assume, most of the rest of the season.
The Bills, for sure.
The Bills, yes. I think Mike and I see this the same way. If you have the Bills, replace them for this week.
With who?
Oh, there are plenty of streaming options. Right. The Browns are a good one. Even, the Commanders, the Jaguars.
Like, you're dropping, assuming that you've got a second quarterback, right? Which I wouldn't have drafted a second quarterback in a 10-team
second
league.
Quarterback, second tight end, a wide receiver you're uncertain about. My guess is you'll be able to get those players back on waivers. Mm-hmm. My guess. And if you lose them, you lose them. Like, it's fantasy football. It's pretty unlikely that the last player on your bench is bound to become James Robinson of 2 years ago or Cordarrelle Patterson of last year.
I just feel slightly different because it's 1 week, and I know that football is a weekly game, but the idea that I'm going to drop a George Pickens or a Joshua Palmer or a KJ Osborne.
Well, you have
Osborne,
to make a decision. I mean, that's a good one, though. Like, I dropped KJ Osborne.
KJ Osborne, as I got there, probably makes sense.
George Pickens, I wouldn't, but I think George Pickens is not the last player on your bench. It's a decision you have to be.
I didn't draft as well as I did this year, Field. I don't know what to say.
Wow. Okay.
Well, I mean, so. You didn't draft well if you're picking the Rams and you're trying to start them in week one. I mean,
they're the last pick of my draft.
Well, pick a team with a better matchup in week one. Now, by the way, our cheat sheets on the site. I specifically did this a couple of years ago. I added the week one matchup. It's right on our cheat sheet. Yeah. So, you know, like if you're like, I'm going to pick the Rams. Oh, they play Buffalo week one. And I'm not going to want to use them. I'll pick someone else. I'll take Denver against Seattle instead.
Most of your articles are blocked on my internet browser.
Well, that explains a lot.
Yeah,
a
car too.
It does. Derek Carr. All right, let's talk about this game. Rams, 2.5-point favorites.
Dogs.
Sorry, 2.5-point dogs.
Home dogs.
Rare home dog for the defending Super Bowl champions. I think it just tells you just how optimistic the public in Vegas is surrounding the Bills this season, viewed by many as the likely team to win the Super Bowl. Also, my pick for the Super Bowl over the Lions. Don't fact check that second part of the equation.
Appreciate that.
Mike, you always have a much more specific score. So can I go first? Because I sound dumb when you go first.
Sure.
Okay, I've got the Bills winning tonight.
That's high praise.
The Bills are winning tonight over the Los Angeles Rams. I think this team's got something special in the water in Buffalo, something special in the sauce up in Buffalo this year. Give me the Bills.
Oh, you have a score on there, too. Look at that.
24-20.
On the video, we have our graphics with our scores.
Someone might have made that score up for me, but whatever. 24-20 works.
Well, that's way off because I'm Bills 25-24.
25-24.
I want my number to be 34-30, just for the record.
So I cannot believe you guys and all of this Matthew Stafford hate after everything he did for the Lions, and then he goes to a real team and he wins a Super Bowl.
Wow.
You're going to doubt him the first week back after.
You're taking the Bills as well?
I'm taking to the Rams. I'm taking the Rams.
Oh, wow. I thought you were trying to set that one up right there.
No, I can't believe you. Spicy. I can't believe that shot you just took at the Lions.
However, listen.
A real team.
Mind you, the scores are wrong on our video if you're looking at it, but I do think that this is going to be a really high scoring game. Over under on this game is 52 points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's going to be a big one.
I think 34-30 sounds good to me.
34-30 sounds good to me too. All right. We're going to come back with a little bit of wide receiver cornerback matchup first.
Let's go.
We're
going to
pay some bills. Football fans, the first Sunday of the NFL season is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving new customers a can't-miss offer to celebrate the return of the NFL season. Right now, new customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly. And as an added bonus for week one, everyone can experience the thrill of DraftKings' early win promotion. It's simple. You bet on an NFL team to win, and if your team leads by 10 at any point during the game, you get paid instantly, even if your team loses. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the promo code FFF to get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet this Sunday. That's code FFF only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. 21 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Gambling problems? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Tennessee, call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. Bonus issues at a free bet. One early win ticket issued at opt-in. Moneyline bets only. Deposit and wagering restrictions apply. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
Should I try that or no?
Nah.
Because I can't do it. Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Well, of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today. Can I, for a second, before you jump in here, Daniel, I just want to brag on Mike for a second.
Oh,
we're going to do wide receiver cornerback matchups here, and it's perhaps the most instructive article that you'll read in terms of fantasy content during the week. It's an absolute must for people that follow football. Even if you're not playing fantasy, Mike pours his heart and soul into this wide receiver cornerback matchup. He's had some absolutely ridiculous calls over the years that people have rolled their eyes at, and he has been proven correct. Not only that, it seems as though everybody wants to do a wide receiver cornerback matchup now these days. What's the most sincere form of flattery? Imitation. Mike Clay, the OG of wide receiver cornerback matchups. Don't ever forget that.
Thanks,
now
buddy.
We'll talk about it.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate that.
Wide receiver cornerback matchup is available on ESPN Plus.
Yes. Yes. The first week, the week one column's up there. Yep.
And the other column, which I actually think the best column Mike does, although wide receiver cornerback is amazing, is your... what's your full...
You seem to like it
Hold on.
So good.
I just started this and it
left
my head.
It's love hate.
It's not called love hate. Oh my gosh. Playbook. Thank you. I even freaking wrote it down.
Playbook.
See how it says playbook on my...
Playbook.
Stomach?
That's it. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
So I filed the Thursday version of that. It should be up on the site soon. And then tomorrow morning we'll have the whole...
Do you ever have a day off? Like during the season? Like, you just like write all day
Christmas.
Long?
No. Yeah.
Field Pass is also up. That started today.
I saw you tweeted about that.
New column this year for me. It's called Field Pass. It's pretty much everything you need to know because my middle name is Jeremy. I don't know why. It's the idea is for it to be like, as I described it in the first column, if you had the chance to borrow Mike's private jet on Monday night and you watched Monday Night Football on this private jet while it took you to an island, and then Mike's jet returned at like Thursday at 7:45 before the 8 o'clock game began on Thursday night, it would give you what you need to know based off what you missed for three days when you were in solidarity. So first week is focused on some of the biggest storylines of the offseason. We'll get a little bit more granular once we actually have stuff to discuss in week two and beyond. Check it out. It's on ESPN.com right now. It's called Field Pass, and I actually know the name of my colleagues and my own columns.
Oh my gosh.
Because I care.
I love you.
I like that. Your field pass gets you caught up, and then the playbook kind of moves you forward with the rankings for the week. So
that's right.
Are you doing anything?
I am. Liz Loza, DJ Gallo, and I are writing an article called Fantasy Improv every single Friday.
You remember that name?
And that article is free, not behind ESPN Plus, so you can go
I'm
out and
bragging
look
about
everybody
that.
Everybody can read it.
Must be tough to do an improv article with DJ Gallo, who's like the funniest person at the company.
It's so great. And Liz is quick, too. Like, she's burned me a couple times. All right. Wide receiver quarterback matchups is brought to you today by Geico. Switch to Geico and see all the ways that you could save. And we're going to start with Chargers and Raiders. Mike, I am pumped for this matchup.
Me
I want to see 80 points scored here. And we have the number one wide receiver, Keenan Allen, going up against Nate Hobbs. Is this an upgrade or a downgrade for Keenan Allen?
This is a downgrade. Nate Hobbs was a good find by the Raiders, and he mans the slot for Las Vegas. And, of course, Keenan Allen primarily lines up inside. So, you know, one thing that is interesting a little bit about this matchup is you have Josh McDaniels as the head coach, right? Okay. He comes from the Bill Belichick coaching tree, and that was, you know, Belichick is just known for moving guys around a lot. Like they'll have one guy shadow all over the field, the slot, the outside, all over their place. And Patrick Graham has experienced shadowing as well. James Bradbury being an example of that with the Giants. So I'm curious to see if they do anything like that. But for now, I think it's safe to say that most often you'll see Allen inside on Hobbs for this game. And keep this in mind, you might think, okay, well, they played twice last year. Allen was really good last year. He must have just crushed the Raiders, right? He did not. He had 13 catches, 88 yards and zero touchdowns and 19 targets. Up against Hobbs, three targets, 23 yards in those games. So Hobbs did a really nice job against him. It's a good find by this team. And the Raiders allowed the second fewest fantasy points to the slot last year. I should throw that in there as well. So it is a tough matchup for him. I think the outside is where you're going to look for kind of a boost, much like early last season, right? With Mike Williams, remember that hot start he got off to? Josh Palmer, Mike Williams, I think they benefit on the outside. Remember the Raiders traded away Trayvon Mullen. They have some question marks on the outside with Anthony Averett and Rock Ya-Sin, who was a rotational player for the Colts and now is starting maybe the number one perimeter corner here for the Raiders. So I'm down a little bit. The rankings are on the screen. I'm just down a few spots in Allen. You still start him in most formats, but maybe in daily fantasy, you shy away this week.
Good example of a downgrade, and you're not benching a guy, just, you know, you're going to move him down a little bit.
Yeah, some of it's DFS advice, right?
Yeah.
Some of it is really that simple. Other ones are going to be close calls, right? Actually, maybe this tells you, you know what? I was thinking about Josh Palmer for my flex. Maybe I feel a little better about that now. Maybe I put him in my flex this week. So there you go.
All right. Let's go with another matchup here. And we have Christian Kirk and the Jacksonville Jaguars taking on the Washington Commanders. And Benjamin, I'm going to say his last name wrong. St. Juste.
Yep.
Former Minnesota quarterback.
Here's my question about this. Christian Kirk, 5'11", 200 pounds. Mm-hmm. And Christian Kirk plays in the slot. Benjamin St. Juste is 6'3 as a slot corner. Is that size?
Rare, sizable slot corner. Yeah.
Is that size going to give Christian Kirk problems here in this matchup?
I'm not sure about that, just because if you're inside, right, you're generally going to be a little agile, be able to, you know, run routes, get open, and maybe that benefits him if he's a little quicker.
You
so
call him routes or routes?
Routes. I don't know.
Okay.
I always say that wrong. Yeah. It is routes. Right?
I feel like a route is like a street, like a single lane highway.
Like that's 61.
A route. Yeah, route 61. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So route is like what you run. Like he just ran a nice post route.
I used to do that with like a scheme and sheem too.
Stop
like I used
it.
To do that too. What's like, sheem?
I don't know. I used to say
schmear, like what you put on your bagels
or use. I don't know. It's just like when you come.
That's a Pennsylvania thing. That's
a Pennsylvania one of them guys, right?
It's always use like guys. I can never say Jaguars, right? I still don't know if I say
people
that.
Right? People tell me I say Bengals wrong all the time.
You say Bengals. Bengals. B-A-N-G.
What should it be instead? Bengals?
Yeah, with an
Ben.
E.
Bengals. Like Big Ben, Bengals.
It's great podcasting.
I don't know.
I'm just going to sit here and look pretty for the rest of the
like
season.
Us making fun of each other. All right, anyway, keep talking about
so anyway, so St. Juste was a perimeter player last year, right? Is 6'3", usually those guys are on the outside. The story is, and maybe things change, right? Kendall Fuller has experience playing inside, but the story is he's going to play, St. Juste will play the slot this year, and he didn't play a lot last year, 178 coverage snaps. He was a rookie. Again, most of that was outside. Now he moves inside, and Christian Kirk with Arizona last year was inside just a hair under 80% of the time. You expect something similar here.
Yeah.
Of course, with Marvin Jones, the primary perimeter receiver here for Jacksonville. Washington did allow a ton of fantasy points to receivers last year. They did improve down the stretch. But again, I think it's all about the one-on-one here. Kirk inside against the second-year corner, I think, is an edge. And I'm upgrading him a little bit this week.
Yeah. I think Christian Kirk is a guy, especially within this DFS conversation that we're going to have in the second podcast following this.
Yeah.
He's someone that we're going to talk about there as well. Really like him this week. All right. Michael Thomas and Chris Olave taking on AJ Terrell and Casey Hayward. And I got to tell you, Mike, whenever I read the names AJ Terrell and Casey Hayward on this note, I know that someone's in for a tough matchup.
That is exactly right. And you might think Falcons and think pushover defense, right? They just, you know, this is a team that's going to struggle this year, but AJ Terrell, we learned last year, was one of the best young corners in the NFL. He was outstanding, mostly played aside. He was at one corner spot about 90% of the time, shadowed like once, I think, all of last season. Casey Hayward, I mean, on this segment, the last 5 years, we've talked about him a ton, right? He was with the Raiders and he was with the Chargers and he shadowed a ton, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not sure necessarily that they'll need to do that this year. You know, you'll have Terrell and on one side, Hayward on the other. Maybe they match up a little bit. But the fact is here, you're going to have Michael Thomas on the outside on one side. You're going to have Chris Olave, the rookie, on the other. And they're going to see a lot of these two corners. It is a tough matchup. It's enough for me to knock them a little bit. I think Thomas, you're starting regardless. I think if he's active, you're going to start him. Olave's borderline. Maybe you stay away. You know, maybe you're thinking Olave or Josh Palmer. Maybe this breaks that tie. But Jarvis Landry's another one, right? Especially in 12-team leagues. You might be thinking about him for a flex. He's the one that does benefit. He's going to draw Darren Hall, who's expected to be the slot corner for Atlanta, and that's an upgrade, inside. So maybe if those guys kind of struggling outside, maybe Landry takes advantage. So he's kind of a sleeper this week in week one.
Yeah, and we'll have more from Stefania on Michael Thomas and his status for this week tomorrow. So make sure to check that out. One more here. I see Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler, and the entire rest of the Broncos offense versus the Seahawks. Field, are you just, or Field, Mike, are you starting everyone from the Broncos?
Man, you don't know our names, our
I looked at Field. I got nothing here. I connected.
I'm just
looking at you out during this, like at this point.
I'm gonna play some. What's that? What's that game that everybody has? The kids play, but it's like a farming game on your phone.
Farming Simulator. So you're playing? You're playing Farming Simulator.
Farming Simulator.
I don't think that's what it is. I'll play that. What is that game? Minecraft.
That's not a farming game. What are you talking about?
Well, you farm for, I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about either.
I do love Minecraft. All right.
I don't have to, I'm working. I don't have time for Hawaiian shirts and, video games.
It's a button-up shirt. I dressed up nice today. I love the Broncos here, and in part because of Seahawks. Like, that's just really the answer. The Seahawks are just not good.
Yeah, so Seattle secondary, a work in progress for sure, and DJ Reed was a good find by them. He became their top corner the last couple of years. He's gone, right? He's with the Jets now. And Trey Brown was going to start as well on the other side, or would have been the other starter had Reed returned. And he's on the PUP list, right? So they're down a couple guys from last year. That leaves Artie Burns, who kind of fell out of favor in Pittsburgh. He's expected to start. Justin Coleman, an old friend in the slot. He's kind of a journeyman, has bounced around the league. He's back for his second stint with Seattle. And Sidney Jones, again, another guy who didn't work out with the Eagles, goes to Seattle, had a stop in Jacksonville. They're kind of patching this together, and you're going to see some guys they took on day three, rookies. They're going to play a role in the secondary as well. So you're right. I mean, it's a new patchwork secondary. There's not a lot of numbers I can give you on this one. It's just a matter of you have some talented players in Sutton, Jeudy, and Hamler going up against this secondary. It should be an advantage. They should be able to get open, and it obviously Russell Wilson, if you want to get into narrative street, he's playing this old Seattle team. There's been some reports about some, you know, right or wrong, some animosity there at times during his time with Seattle, but nonetheless, it is a good matchup for this Denver offense.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see both Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy. We've been talking all offseason. Which one of these guys is going to be the one that Russell Wilson looks to? We expect them both to have a big game, but a lot to be able to look at for this game.
You know what's fun about week one is a lot of times my analysis about a lot of these players is I just can't wait to see them, right? Yeah. Like, I can't wait to see Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy. I can't wait to see Daniel Clay and Mike Dopp.
Stop it. Now it's contagious.
You made me do it, Daniel.
I looked into your eyes when I was talking to Mike, and there was this thing. I understand now. It's a problem. I got caught.
Well, you and Mike look very similar.
Stop it.
Yeah.
We don't look similar.
Same facial hair.
Right. Correct.
The long hair.
When are you going to do a braid?
Maybe 5 years when it grows that long. I don't know.
Should go for a rat tail first.
I save that for my daughters. They do the braids and stuff. So they get that. By the way, the column has a few of these matchups in there, but I did a ton of sawdust, essentially, which is just, it's week one. We're still learning a lot, but here's little trends, some things from last year. Like, maybe this isn't a clear upgrade, but when these teams played last year, this is what they did, that kind of thing. So just a little details, little, you know, short sentences just to kind of give you an idea what to expect in certain matchups. That's all in the column. It's kind of a unique way I attacked it this year for week one. So that's all in the column.
Wide receiver cornerback out now on ESPN Plus. Field Pass out now on ESPN Plus. And coming up after this break, Field is going to break it down with Adam Schefter.
Can't wait. Yes.
But first, we're going to pay some bills. And when it comes to choosing the top running back, wide receiver, quarterback, and even which defense is right for your team on any given week, you know where to turn. But when you're trying to decide the right credit card for your wallet, the right mortgage lender for your dream home, or the right savings account, where are you supposed to go, Michael?
Where?
The nerds at NerdWallet are here to help you make a smart financial decision. NerdWallet is a personal finance site run by money nerds. Think about people as obsessed about personal finance as Mike Clay is about fantasy sports, and they want to share their knowledge with you in order to help you find the right financial products for what you need. Let's say you're looking for your new rewards credit card. NerdWallet can help you compare cash back cards side by side so you can feel confident choosing the one that suits your spending. Think of them like your weekly wide receiver PPR rankings, but you're comparing top credit cards that work for you. So, are you ready to make a financial decision? Compare and find top credit cards, saving accounts, and more at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, the smartest decision for all your financial decisions. NerdWallet Compare Inc. NMLS 1617539. NerdWallet is not an investment advisor nor an investment broker. Information is for educational purposes only.
Guys, did you know football is back?
Yes, it is.
Tonight, if I did not remind you already, there's a real live game with numbers that count. I promise. And what better way to celebrate the fantasy points piling up than with all of your friends and a cooler full of Miller Lite.
Sounds great.
Trick question. There isn't a better way. When it's Miller time, you know you're getting a great tasting beer that is low in both calories and carbs. Since 1975, Miller Lite has been a mainstay in the stadium, at the tailgate, and in your fridge. No matter how your team plays, it's the beer that's always a winner. And Miller Lite tastes like beer, because if you're a beer lover, you don't want a watered-down flavor.
Nah.
You want the original light beer. Football season brings back the big hits, so reach for the biggest hit of them all, Miller Lite. You can find Miller Lite pretty much everywhere beer is sold, or go to MillerLite.com/FFF for delivery options near you. It's Miller time. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces.
It is time now for us to welcome in a very special guest. Not only the most plugged in man in all of the world of football, but also a man who loves himself some fantasy sports. Good morning to Adam Schefter. How are you, Schefty?
Day, start of the season. We're fired up to have football finally here.
And you are in parts unknown. I believe that might be New York where you are. You'll be joining us from wherever you are on these busy Thursdays during the NFL season. But Schefty, we discussed earlier in the show some injury updates. So I want to ask you for some of your intel here and then dive into your War Room League team, as last night we conducted our War Room draft. And I'll be curious to see how you felt about it. But some of the top storylines injury-wise now for the NFL season include star wide receivers. And let's begin with Michael Thomas. Schefty, it's been basically two lost seasons for Michael Thomas. He's now dealing with a new injury. It's a hamstring issue. Do you have any sense of whether he'll be available on Sunday for the Saints?
It sounds like he's tracking to be available. I think they want to see how he feels in practice today and tomorrow. But I think that they're cautiously optimistic that he'll be out there on Sunday, which would be a big boost. You know, Michael Thomas would want to be out there. It has been, as you mentioned, Field, two lost seasons. Spent a lot of time on the sidelines. I think he would like to be back out there again. My guess would be that he's out there, but we'll see how the rest of the week unfolds and how he's feeling.
Injury reports can change from one day to the next, Schefty, but one thing that caught my eye yesterday was that Chris Godwin was a full participant in practice for the Bucs. All offseason, you've been tracking this ACL recovery. What have you gleaned in terms of how the Bucs feel about his potential in playing either in week one or early in this season?
Well, they had him in full practice, but he was in a red jersey. So it's not like he was going through and having contact or anything to that effect. And even earlier this week, Chris Godwin himself said that he's really eyeing the second half of the year, trying to ramp up to that. So if he were to play on Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys, I do think it would be in a reduced role, not like Chris Godwin, the way that we're used to seeing Chris Godwin. And that's even if he plays. The Buccaneers have left it up to him to see how he's feeling. He has said that he wants to see how he's feeling on game day before he makes any final determination. Just the way it sounds to me, I think I'd be a little surprised if he were out there. But again, he's a tough guy. He wants to be back out there, and we'll see whether he can make it back on Sunday.
By the way, Schefty, I'm learning right now as you and I are talking that at least during the opening minutes of Buccaneers practice, there's a media portion taking place. Right as we are speaking, it sounds like he is not spotted currently. So we'll see what that means. We'll find out more in just a few minutes, but your instincts might be on there. J.K. Dobbins has been in the news recently. He has become kind of the Kevin Durant of NFL players because he likes to respond to fans on Twitter. He seems confident in his recovery. The Ravens have also added Mike Davis and also Kenyon Drake. Do we think there's a chance that J.K. Dobbins will play on Sunday in the Joe Flacco Bowl?
Oh, I think he's going to play. I definitely think he's going to be out there. I don't have any questions about that. Now, the question is, what will his workload be? And I don't think it'll be the regular full workload. I think they'll ease him back in. But I do think he'll be out there playing on Sunday against the Jets. Now, again, like I said, it's just not smart business without playing in preseason games to think that he's going to go out there and play a full game. But yeah, I do expect J.K. Dobbins to be out there on Sunday right now.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson made those comments on Wednesday referencing a couple of weeks for J.K. Dobbins. But as we said earlier on in our show, Lamar Jackson is a great quarterback. He may not be a doctor, so perhaps he was speaking a bit out of turn there. One more injury for you, Schefty, is on Monday. It sounds like George Kittle sustained a groin injury. He didn't practice yesterday. It's always something with the 49ers. Could they be without their all-pro tight end on Sunday?
You know, it's funny. I had heard about it on Monday. I got a text that George hurt himself during practice, asked around about it, didn't get a lot of information, and then Kyle Shanahan came out yesterday and said that he hurt his groin. Didn't practice at all yesterday. Now, I checked back in. I was told it's not serious, not significant. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to be out there on Sunday, Field. I still don't know that we'll see Kittle play on Sunday. They'll obviously be very careful with him this week and know that it's a long season ahead, but definitely clearly a factor. Didn't practice yesterday, and we'll find out whether or not he's ready to go on Sunday.
All right, a bonus one, because I know you've been tracking this one as well. Drake London, 8th overall pick in the draft for the Atlanta Falcons. He got hurt a few weeks back. It was an injury that took place after a catch in a preseason game. Wasn't believed to be serious at the time. Do we still feel that way? Should he be available on Sunday against the Saints?
Yeah, you know, I haven't heard anything specifically this week on him, but at that time I was told it was not serious. My sense would be that he's back, but I would need to make more calls before I felt very strongly on that one, giving you information there.
Okay, so Shefty, now I want to dive into the most important part of our interview, your War Room League team, because Adam Schefter is one of the 16 managers in our ESPN War Room League, and last night you had pick 12, was it 13?
11, and 11. I will tell you that going in, I was going to take C.D. Lamb at 11. And
wow.
And I was like, I was hoping that by chance, in our league with 16 teams, and if anybody has never taken part in a 16-team league, it's hard to describe how challenging it is. Like, it's really hard. And so I was hoping that somehow that there would be a major run on running backs and that Jamar Chase would slip to me. Mm. Now, that didn't happen. And I thought, well, C.D. Lamb will be there at 11. And then C.D. Lamb wasn't there. And the guy that I had as the backup to CeeDee Lamb, which I didn't even think I was getting the backup, was Davante Adams. I never would have guessed that both CeeDee Lamb and Davante Adams would be gone before pick 11. Never would have thought that in a million years.
I can tell you this. Playing in a fantasy league that includes you and Mort is a great challenge, because when you guys make picks that are surprising to us, my first thought is, what do they know? And Mort was the person that took CeeDee Lamb 8th overall last night, and perhaps Mort knows something about how busy CeeDee Lamb will be. But let's go through some of your picks here, Shefty. You had the 11th pick. You ended up taking DeAndre Swift. Was he a player you were considering before the draft, or were you thinking there was no chance he'd be there?
I honestly, if you'll notice at that pick, Field, I ran it down to the end.
Like, yeah, I did.
I was stumped.
Yeah.
I was stumped. I just didn't. I was not prepared. I guess I did a poor job managing, because I just thought, I'm going to take CeeDee Lamb, and if he's there, I'm going to take Davante Adams. And I was 95% sure that CeeDee Lamb was going to be there, and he wasn't.
Yeah.
So that was a loop, and Davante Adams was a loop, and now I'm like, well, now I'm going to take a running back. So my choices were DeAndre Swift, Saquon Barkley,
Najee Harris,
Dalvin Cook, Najee Harris.
Alvin Kamara.
Alvin Kamara. You know, yeah. Yeah. There were a bunch of good running backs,
yeah.
And I don't know. I just had this these vibes from Hard Knocks. You know, Swift looked great. Talked about how great he can be when he's healthy, which has been an issue. When he's healthy, he's as good as anybody.
Yeah.
And so I just figured the Lions' offensive line is really good. Najee has the foot injury, playing behind an offensive line that's been a little questioned. Kamara, I don't think he's going to face any legal issues, but I worry, like, what if a video surfaces? What happens there? So that kind of scared me off Kamara. Najee had the injury question mark. Saquon is like boom bust. I think he's going to have a big year, but I wasn't comfortable going there with my first pick. Javonte Williams I consider, but it'd be like, that's awfully eager and ambitious at 11, but if you like the guy, you take him. And so I just fell back to Swift. I can't give you a good reason why. I think I bet on the player and the talent.
Yeah.
And you hope that it comes through. I don't know. That's a pick that I'll wonder about for a while.
Hey, Shefty, he led all running backs in catches at the time of his injury last year before he eventually returned late in the season. So you're looking for that receiving game upside. DeAndre Swift certainly offers it. After that, you took Kyle Pitts in the second round here, Shefty, the second tight end off the board, maybe the third tight end off the board here. He feels like, and I know it's weird to call a guy who had over 1,000 receiving yards as a rookie a breakout candidate, but he sure feels like one of the players that could define the NFL season this year.
Well, I believe that Kyle Pitts will be the number one tight end in fantasy next year.
I love it.
I believe he'll be the top tight end pick. And so I wanted to be ahead of that curve, just like I believe CeeDee Lamb will be a top three wide receiver next year. So I thought I'd be CeeDee Lamb and Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts was always going to be my pick if he was there at 22. And then once CeeDee Lamb went, I was completely surprised by that. I'm like, oh, I hope I don't lose my guy at 22. And I took Kyle Pitts there. I just believe in the player. Here's a guy that was picked ahead of Ja'Marr Chase, Devontae Smith, Jaylen Waddle. We know how great they were. And I think he'll be that much more productive. Now, last year he had one touchdown. He had no touchdowns in the United States. And if he had had, I'm just making this up, five touchdowns,
yeah,
his numbers would have been even greater, and I think he wouldn't have lasted to 22. So it was kind of a fluky touchdown deal. So I just felt very strongly about Pitts this year, very strongly, and I was able to get him at 22, and I felt very fortunate about that.
I'd love to hear it. I'll go through a couple other players that the fans are obviously very familiar with, and then some interesting picks here from Shefty. You took Justin Herbert as your quarterback. No problems there, obviously. You have some solid wide receivers, and Michael Pittman Jr. and Darnell Mooney. Devontae Smith, also one of your flex. We play two flex players per week, so one of them could be Devontae Smith. But you were not super early, Shefty, but based off of where our ranks had him, a little early on George Pickens. Are you confident with what we saw in the preseason is going to translate into the regular season?
Yeah, I am. I mean, that was a guy that I felt good about. And I had done another draft earlier in the night field, and I went CeeDee Lamb first there, and I took Swift second. And then I went a lot of wide receivers. Like, my four wide receivers is kind of crazy in the other league are – CeeDee Lamb, T. Higgins, Gabriel Davis, and Courtland Sutton.
Pretty good.
Now, I can only start three of them, but I went so heavy a receiver later, and I couldn't get anybody later. And Pickens was a guy that I would have loved to have picked. I just didn't have a need to pick him. Mm. And so I thought that he would be around 100. And the people around that team say that he has been as impressive as any rookie wide receiver to come through there in recent years. Now, again, that's a big statement with that organization. So yeah. I'm a believer in his talent. Now, he's a rookie. There's a lot to learn. We'll see how it works out his rookie year. But I also believe that he's with the right coach to get it out of him.
Yeah.
And so I'm betting on George Pickens, and I'm betting on Mike Tomlin. And, you know, again, when you hear them say that George Pickens is as talented as any receiver in the Steelers organization at any recent time, that includes a lot of different great receivers, I'm going to bet on that talent.
Always good to bet on Mike Tomlin. Shefty, I think the position that could define your early season is your second running back spot. We all feel great about DeAndre Swift, but you either have more confidence or know something that Mike Clay does not, because the player slated to be your RB2 as of about 10 minutes ago, as I have the app open here, is a guy that Mike Clay thinks so highly of, he hasn't projected for 0.0 points tonight. That's Kyron Correct. Williams for the Los Angeles Correct. Rams. Are you expecting him to play right away for the defending champs?
Field, we've done this a few years, right?
We have. You know things.
In other years, I have some misses. We'd have to go back and look. Scott Clark, the war room historian, can go dig it up. But in other years, I took Alfred Morris with my last pick. Right?
Yep. Elijah Mitchell.
In his rookie year, he had over 1,000 yards. I took Alvin Kamara when he was a rookie, when nobody was talking about him. And I remember the Saints telling me that they loved this guy. I took Elijah Mitchell last year, and on the day of our Sunday fantasy show, which will be on this Sunday. What time are we on field this Sunday? Let's give it a little
10 a.m. Eastern time. That's right. Can't wait for fantasy football now. You'll be joining us every week.
And I've said on my podcast that I usually hold out one guy,
yep.
right, that I hold on to, that I don't advertise. That I don't advertise until after I make the picks, right? I'm casting my lot in that direction this year with one Kyron Williams, the Rams running back.
Man, I got to tell you, Shefty, as I'm sitting here feverishly looking to pick him up in some of my other leagues, that is very intriguing to me. You know, I actually did take him in a salary cap league. I got him for $1, so perhaps your confidence in Kyron Williams will be rewarded.
Field, that will be a dollar well spent.
Listen, I've spent plenty of...
Here's the deal. Here's the flip side to it, right? We roll the dice here. I took him late in the draft.
Yeah.
I always love to have insight on a certain running back for later in the draft, because to me that eases the burden on getting a running back earlier in the draft. So now I can go take Michael Pittman and Darnell Mooney and Devontae Smith in spots where maybe I should be rolling the dice on a running back. But I am betting on some of these. It doesn't mean I'm going to be right. Okay? But in 16 teams, you got to you're going to be weak somewhere, and you're going to need a little luck. And so, based on what I know, and based on what I've heard, I believe that Kyren Williams will be a factor for the Los Angeles Rams this season. I believe he will be. Now, what I was going to say to you is, he could get his chance tonight, fumble the first carry, and anything that I thought I knew goes out the window, right? So I want to preface it by saying that.
Yeah.
But I believe Kyren Williams is going to factor. And I was very, very concerned, shall we say, that somebody in our Warren League who does the Rams preseason games would know about Kyren Williams. Yeah. And I did some scouting, and she was not at practice the week that he excelled and shined when they decided to put him on ice and save him for the regular season.
Ooh, how about that? All right, so Shefty got
it. And Mina did take Cam Akers and Darrell Henderson.
Yeah. All right, so one of you is bound to be right, and I have a rule of thumb in life. I don't ever bet against Shefty. I don't ever bet against Mina. So maybe you'll both be right. Some way you guys will figure it out.
Yeah, but all three backs could factor in this year,
no,
right?
No question about it. They certainly could. Shefty, I love having you on the show for the first time. And I will tell you that you can just sense the passion. You can feel the energy and excitement that you have for fantasy football. So we appreciate you making time for us today and every week here on the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. And people can check out the Adam Schefter podcast as well. Some great recent guests. Include our new Monday Night Football broadcast team of Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. Shefty, anything else you want to plug along the way? Do you have a Twitter account? If so, where can people find you?
Well, what I do want to say is, in all honesty, it's great to be with you on the Fantasy Focus podcast. Did I pronounce it correctly, Field?
You nailed it podcast? Right there. Yeah, really well done.
Okay. I just want to make sure about that with the specific language. And I can honestly say that all the people who are listening today love fantasy football.
Yeah.
And I too am a member of that tribe. Yes. I love fantasy football. There's nobody that loves it any more than me or you. It's a passion. I love it. I couldn't sleep the night before the draft thinking about the picks I was going to have. I couldn't sleep last night pondering picks I could have done differently. And I'm very, very excited tonight to watch the Rams and Bills to see how Kyren Williams will do.
I just saw Mike Clay updated his projections. Kyren Williams is now due for 19.2 fantasy points. So the Shefty influence is real.
Hey, I got him in my starting lineup tonight right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he is projected for zero.
Yeah.
So either Mike Clay or I is going to be right tonight. Yeah, you're going
to
see.
One of you gets to proclaim victory at about midnight Eastern time tonight. Shefty, we appreciate you. Enjoy a great Thursday night ahead of us, and we'll be watching Shefty everywhere. And again, he is on Twitter, of course, at Adam Schefter. We'll talk to you soon, Shefty.
Field, look forward to doing the show Sunday with you as well.
Can't wait. Fantasy Football Now returns on Sunday, and I can't wait to see tonight between Mike and Shefty. Someone's got to be right here. How'd you feel about hearing that?
Yeah, that's bold for sure, especially with Cam Akers and Darrell Henderson sounding like they're going to play, right?
So, well, you know what's going to happen, by the way, tonight. It's like they're going to have a fullback score three touchdowns.
Yeah,
and no one's going to be right.
Yeah, it's going to be Tutu Atwell.
Ben Skowronek is going to have a reverse rush for a touchdown.
Skowronek and Atwell on a reverse, yeah. Right? Yeah, but it's interesting for sure, especially because Henderson and Akers have missed some time, right? So maybe they're just impressed with Kyren, and people watching this might be thinking, why did nobody talk about him, right? And a part of the reason is he had a really bad combine.
Like bad
a
combine. Really, didn't really play much in the combine. Preseason. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, his efficiency was great at the college level, and I was high on him. But the combine, like, he didn't check the boxes you need to be a successful NFL player. And not only that, his combine results were like 99% bust. Like, it doesn't look good at all. So that's why he fell to the fifth round. But, you know, there's always a diamond in the rough, and maybe the Rams fan one here.
You know what's frustrating is while Field was doing that, I went through and tried to see if I could pick him up. And then in the one league that I'm in with Field in our Gasco league, Field has basically three running backs, and it's Christian McCaffrey, Joe Mixon,
and Kyren Williams.
You just had him now while you were talking.
No, that was my $1 that I got him in a salary cap league for. Because I remember just being like, to be honest with you, I don't have a reason why I picked
that Kimberly,
him.
Those guys were, there was yeah, hardly I mean,
everyone gets drafted in that yeah. league, so you kind of have to take like third string running backs. But yeah, if something happens, who would have thought that my season could be saved if Christian McCaffrey gets hurt by Kyren Williams right. of all people? This
it's
is fun,
be
guys.
Interesting, though. If he does play a lot, I mean, that's going to be pretty crushing for Akers and Henderson. I mean, a lot of people, especially yeah. are invested in Akers, and I'm hoping for the best with for him coming off that Achilles, but. Again, sometimes guys just find a gem, and maybe that's Kyren Williams.
I'm hungry. You know what I want right now?
What do you want?
Some pizza.
You know from here? Me too.
From Little Caesars. Yes. Little Caesars preview is brought to you by Little Caesars. It's game day with Little Caesars, the official pizza sponsor of the NFL. Pizza, pizza. Here's three things to keep an eye on for week one. We already have talked about Kyren Williams. But tonight, as we talked about, we have two very different wide receiver twos in terms of where they're at in their career path. Gabe Davis and Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson, nearly 30, if not already 30. Gabe Davis, 23 years old. Which one of these guys, or both, can emerge as a wide receiver too for an extremely potent offense in both Los Angeles and Buffalo? Can't wait to see how those two players shape up in their new roles. On Sunday, there's a million things to watch, but one thing I've got my eyes on is who steps up for the Packers and the Chiefs. Will it be one wide receiver for each of them who has a go-to game? Will it be three wide receivers for each of them who becomes a go-to target? Patrick Mahomes said yesterday, I'm sorry, fantasy football players. It's going to be tough for me to know who the go-to guy is each and every week, of course, besides Travis Kelce. But I can't wait to watch the new faces in Kansas City, in Green Bay, and then Monday Night Football. Obviously, we know Russell Wilson returns. How about the guy taking over for Russell Wilson? What does Geno Smith do to the value of DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett as the starting quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks, at least to begin the year? We'll find out on Monday night. I am remaining hopeful that both Lockett and Metcalf can be usable pieces in fantasy football because we know their talent is off the charts. We cannot wait. And in the meantime, go out there and enjoy some Little Caesars pizza. It is so good.
So good. Also, mm-hmm. Little Caesars from, you know, my hometown in Michigan.
Dang right
oh,
it is.
Oh, there we go. What can we get some Little Caesars for, like, I mean, it's like it's noon.
Lunch. It's right, right now. Lunch. Yeah.
Some Little Caesars, yeah. Right? That's yeah. right. Yeah. Shout out to the Village family, man. All right. That's going to do it for today's show.
Oh, we're just done.
This was a good Thursday. Now, we're not done because we are going to come back with a DFS. It's going to grace your audio feed here a little bit later on. The video will be available tomorrow.
Go draft Kyren Williams. No, go add him today. Do it now because you can't do it after tonight.
Yeah, that's right.
Do it now.
That's right. Do it now. For Daniel and Field and Mike.
Wait, my name's Daniel. Whatever, guys. Happy football.
You deserve a slice of pizza. That'll make you happy.
Pizza, yeah. Pizza.
Pizza, pizza.
You know what you can use your CSS DFS prize money for?
What?
More pizza. More pizza. Do you see the prize we have this week? We're going to talk about it on the show.
I did.
There's a big prize. Freely.
You should check in.
Tune in. Who's that? Who's that squirrel?
Who's that squirrel? It's no secret, not a mystery. The one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate Full Sail U, Alliance fan through and through. With the hippest beard, I'm telling you, he's Daniel Dopp. Who's that? Who's that squirrel? Who's that squirrel? He's Daniel Dopp. Who's that? Who's that squirrel? He's Daniel Dopp.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.